first scripture I'd like to read is just a few words in the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 32. The book of Numbers, chapter 32, and verse 23, the end of the verse. And be sure your sin will find you out. And be sure your sin will find you out. John's epistle, John's first epistle, chapter 1, page 1478, if you've got your Bibles like mine. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And now I'd like to go to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 37, and we'll perhaps begin at verse 18. And when they saw him, now the they there are the brothers of Joseph, and him was Joseph. When the brothers of Joseph saw Joseph from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to put him to death. And they said to one another, behold, there comes that dreamer. And now come, and let us kill him and cast him into one of the pits, and we will say, an evil beast has devoured him. And we will see what becomes of his dreams. And Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hand and said, let us not take his life. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood. Cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, in order that he might deliver him out of their hand, to bring him again to his father again. And it came to pass when Joseph came to his brethren, they stripped Joseph off his vest, the vest of many colours, which he had on, and they took him and cast him into the pit. Now the pit was empty, there was no water in it. Now just turn over to chapter 42. Begin at verse 18. Chapter 42, verse 18. And Joseph said to them the third day, this do, that ye may live. I fear God. If ye are honest, let one of your brethren remain bound in the house of your prison, but go ye, carry grain for the hunger of your households, and bring your youngest brother to me, in order that your words may be verified, and that ye may not die. And they did so. Then they said to one another, we are indeed guilty concerning our brother, whose anguish of soul we saw when he besought us, and we did not hearken. Therefore this distress has come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, did I not speak to you, saying, do not sin against the lad? But ye did not hearken. And now, behold, his blood is required. And they did not know that Joseph understood, for the interpreter was between them. And he turned away from them and wept. And he returned to them and spoke to them, and took Simeon from among them, and bound him before their eyes. Now, that's a long story, this, and we can't read it all, but we'll just go a little bit further down now. We go to chapter 44 and verse 14. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, and he was still there. And they fell down before him to the ground. And Joseph said to them, what deed is this which ye have done? Did ye not know that a man as I can certainly, such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? And how justify ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's bondmen, both we and he in whose hand the cup has been found. And he said, far be it from me to do so. The man in whose hand the cup has been found, he shall be my bondmen. But as for you, go up in peace to your father. Then just down to the chapter 45, verse 1. And Joseph could not control himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, put every man out from me. And no man stood with him when Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he raised his voice in weeping. And the Egyptians heard, and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. And now be not grieved, and be not angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been these 2 years in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there will be neither ploughing nor harvest. So God sent me before you to preserve you a remnant in the earth, and to save you alive by a great deliverance. And now, it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, governor over all the land of Egypt. Haste, and go up to my father, and say to him, thus says thy son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, tarry not. The story of Joseph is one that never fails to move me when I read it. But what a picture it is of the Lord Jesus. One of the most beautiful pictures in the Old Testament of the coming of Jesus. But before we go a little bit into the story of Joseph, I just read this rather searching few words. Be sure your sin will find you out. And John's words, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So, we all have sin. That's what the Bible teaches, and if we're honest, we all know it. And the word is, your sin will find you out. That's to say, we cannot cover it up. We cannot hide our sinnership from God. It will have to be exposed and judged. This particular chapter is dealing with the 2.5 tribes that didn't want to go into the land of Canaan. They wanted to settle on the east side of the Jordan. And Moses was insisting that their men go with the rest of Israel to help conquer the land of Canaan. And he says, if you don't go, be sure your sin will find you out. And they did go, but that's a different history, and not what I really wanted to dwell on tonight, save that these few words are a certain truth. Be sure your sin will find you out. I come to the story now of Joseph as an example of their sin being found out. We started in chapter 37, 10 really, because Benjamin was not included. The 10 brothers of Joseph were jealous of him. They were jealous of the way their father loved him. And so when their father sent him, Joseph, to see the well-being of the other 10 of them who were looking after his sheep, they said, here's our chance. We'll put him to death. We'll get rid of him. It's interesting, isn't it, that Reuben, who was the eldest of them all, seemed to have a bit of reservation about it. He didn't want them to kill him. But nevertheless, he was privy to it. And so they took Joseph, and they stripped him of his coat of many colours, and they pushed him into the pit and left him there. And then, as we know, subsequently, they sold him to the Ishmaelites, and he was taken into Egypt. They told the lies to their father. They said, we found his coat, and they dipped it in blood, and they said, an evil beast must have devoured him. So they deceived their father, as well as treating Joseph so cruelly. And that was their sin. And you know, they lived with that sin for 22 years. We can work that out, because Joseph was 17. When his father sent him to see how his brethren were getting on, looking after the sheep. We're told that in the scripture. We're told later that by the time Joseph, who had been badly treated, mistreated even in Egypt and put into prison, but by the time he was released from prison for interpreting Pharaoh's dreams, he was of an age of 30. So 13 years had gone by. The dream that he interpreted for Pharaoh said that it was going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine in Egypt. And it wasn't until the 7 years of plenty had been completed that, because of the famine, Jacob had to send Joseph's brothers to Egypt for food. So on top of the 13 years, you go up to add 7 years of plenty. That takes us up to 20. And by the time Joseph had dealt with them and caused them to acknowledge their sin, they were into the second year of the famine. So there's where you get the 20, how I think you get the 22 years. But you fancy being guilty of a sin like that and telling lies to their father, and they thought they got away with it for 22 years. And then the truth of what we've read in Numbers, be sure your sin will find you out, became true. And that's true for all of us, isn't it? Through our sinnership. No matter how much we try to cover it up and how long we tell lies to cover it, God knows all about us. And finally, it must be judged. Well, it's a long story, the story of Joseph and his brethren, isn't it? How they went up to Egypt to buy food. How Joseph recognised them. We read that bit, didn't we? Quite moving, the story, isn't it? Joseph said to them, I fear God, if you are honest, because he knew what had happened to them, and he recognised them, though they didn't recognise him. He said, if you are honest, let one of you remain bound here, and the rest of you go and take food for your households, and bring your younger brother Benjamin to me. And that began to trouble them, because they knew that Benjamin, Joseph, whom they thought they'd lost forever, they knew he was Benjamin's full brother, and that his father loved Benjamin. And it started to trouble them when Joseph said that, and that their conscience starts to prick them here. Then they said to one another, we are indeed guilty concerning our brother, whose anguish of soul we saw when he besought us, and we did not hearken. Yes, when we do wrong, we sometimes come into circumstances, don't we, where our conscience troubles us. But still we try to sweep it under the carpet. Therefore is this distress come upon us. What they didn't realise was, while they were saying these things amongst themselves, Joseph, who though he was now in Egypt and obviously spoke Egyptian, still remembered the language of his family at home. And he understood what they were saying. And when he heard them say, we are indeed guilty concerning our brother, oh, it touched his heart. It says here, they did not know that Joseph understood, because there was an interpreter between them. And he, that's Joseph, turned away from them and wept. The feeling of Joseph for his brothers. Now I think that's a picture of the feelings of Jesus towards the sinner. Jesus, do you know, he wept over Jerusalem. Over the fact that the people of Jerusalem wouldn't receive him. He'd come to bring blessing to them, and they rejected him. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that stoned the prophets. If you would come to me, he says, I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. The feelings of Jesus for his own. what a picture this is of Joseph here. How he felt towards his brethren and hearing them talking about their bad conscience and not realizing that he understood. The Lord knows all things. He knows all about us, even when we're troubled in our consciences. So he sent them back home and he kept Simeon. Remarkable that he kept Simeon. We've just read that Reuben, who was the eldest, had some misgivings about what they were doing. And I suspect, therefore, it was probably Simeon, the next one down in the family, that was mainly responsible for what happened to Joseph. And so Joseph just wisely says, I'll keep Simeon here till you come back with Benjamin, your younger brother. The Lord's ways are very wise. He knows how to deal with us to make us come to an acknowledgement of our need of him. So they went home. The money was returned in their sacks, wasn't it? We know the story. Eventually the time came when they were running out of food. They must come back to Joseph again. And yet they had to say to their father, it's no use us going without Benjamin. Finally, poor Jacob, wrenched in his heart to let Benjamin go. But their need of food was such that they let Benjamin go. And they come back to Joseph. Joseph meets them. He eats with them, still doesn't tell them who he is. But he sends them back home with the money in their sacks and his cup in Benjamin's sack. Now what would they do when they found that it looked as though he'd made Benjamin look guilty? Because Benjamin was not guilty, it was the others that were. Would they take responsibility? Was a picture of the Lord's way with us sometimes to bring us to an acknowledgement of our wrongdoing, what we are as sinners. And so they have to come back again and they have to stand before Joseph. And that's where we again take up the story, isn't it, in our reading. It says here, this time it's not Reuben, it's Judah that takes responsibility. He says, Judah said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? And how justify ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. Be sure your sin will find you out. Their sin had been found out. Joseph knew all about what they'd done to him. Where they were in front of him. Now, this is where I think the story takes a wonderful turn towards the truth of the gospel. Is Joseph vindictive towards them? Does he say, right, now I've got you. Into prison the lot of you go. Could have done that, couldn't he? But no. Says, Joseph could not control himself before them that stood by him, and he cried, put every man out from me. When we get reconciled to the Lord Jesus about our sins, nobody else can interfere in that. We have to have it out with him alone. He raised his voice in weeping. How he felt for his brothers. How he wanted them to repent of what they'd done and to come into a happy family relationship again. So he says he raised his voice in weeping, and the Egyptians heard, and the house of Pharaoh heard, and Joseph said to his brethren, I am Joseph. What a shock that must have been to them. This man that they'd been dealing with, who'd sent them back with food, was it really the Joseph that they'd left, sold to the Ishmaelites? What a moment of truth that must have been to them. What a moment it is for the sinner when he comes to recognize that Jesus has a claim over him. That Jesus is the only one that can meet his situation. that Jesus has been exalted in heaven, crowned with glory and honour, and is there as a saviour for them. What a picture Joseph's position was, because now he was Lord over all Egypt. He got great glory and honour, and his brethren were utterly dependent on him. And now he makes himself known. Have we come to the Saviour to find him make himself known in all his love to us, in spite of what we are as sinners? What a picture this is, this story. His brethren could not answer him. What can we say? We can't justify ourselves, can't we? We can't excuse our sinnership. We can't pretend that it's not as bad as it ought to be. He knows all about it. Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. He said, I am Joseph, your brother. How he identified with them. He wasn't harsh with them. He'd been harsh to discipline them and bring them to this point. But now he wants to establish the fact that he loves them. That God had sent him before to preserve them alive. What a picture that is of the Saviour Jesus. That God sent him into the world to be a propitiation for our sins, to save us alive, to give us the gift of eternal life, to assure us that our sins can be righteously forgiven, and that we can be looked after and maintained by him. So he says, I am Joseph your brother, whom you sold into Egypt, and now be not grieved. Be not angry with yourselves that you sent me hither, for God sent me before you to preserve life. That's a marvellous thing, you know, for the sinner, when he comes to realise that in spite of all his sinnership, all his offensiveness before a holy God, God anticipated all that. Sent Jesus into the world to be a saviour of the world, to be my saviour. Joseph in Egypt had his name changed, didn't it, to Zaphnath-Paaneah. And that can mean revealer of secrets or sustainer of life. And what when we come to the Saviour, we find that yes, he knows all about us. He's the revealer of every secret. We can't hide anything from him. But he's also the sustainer of life. He's the one that gives us life eternal. He that believes on him receives life eternal. So this is a lovely picture, isn't it? We cannot hide our sinnership. Be sure your sin will find you out. These brothers' sin was found out 22 years after they committed it. But in the wonderful ways of God, when their sin was found out, there was also reconciliation to their brother, and an acknowledgement that God had sent, in his wonderful ways, had sent Joseph beforehand to preserve them alive. And so it is for the believer today. We come to the recognition that God sent Jesus. We didn't ask for it, we didn't deserve it, but God sent Jesus. And he died for us. He shed his blood for us, that our sin might be forgiven. And that provision is already made. We can tell that to anybody in Yeovil tonight, that the blood of Jesus has been shed, and it can cleanse from every sin. Even if it was committed 22 years ago. And many of us have committed sins longer ago than that, haven't we? But they can all be forgiven righteously, because Jesus, when he hung at Calvary's cross, God put upon him the iniquity of us all. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. And therefore forgiveness can be extended. And so we come to recognise that God sent Jesus before us to preserve us, to give us everlasting life. Well, it's just a simple outline of the gospel. The story of Joseph is very precious, very moving. It often does move me to tears when I read it, when Joseph made himself known to his brethren. But he says, it was not you that sent me here, but God. Isn't that marvellous that in wondrous grace, God does not impute blame to us. The sinner that's forgiven, he's cleared of his guilt as well. He's set completely free.
Mm.
And Joseph says, haste, go up to my father and say to him, thus says thy son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, tarry not. And that's the invitation tonight, isn't it? God has made this Jesus, whom ye have crucified, Lord and Christ. And the invitation is to come to him, tarry not. Well, may we have the assurance of these things, that whatever our past, whatever our sinship, we can't hide it, but God has made every provision for it. And the story of Joseph is just a wonderful illustration of what he's done for us in Christ. May we all come into the good of it, for his name's sake.